You've just got to go on anyhow. And so Paul says you must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. And if you look up the word tribulation in the Greek, it's very interesting. You'll find out that it simply means pressure. Pressure. You must through much pressure enter the kingdom of God. It's unavoidable. Pressure, tribulation can make you feel like there's something wrong with you, but really there's not. It can make you feel like everybody else is doing fine, but you're not. I'm feeling these weird feelings, you see. I'm having these troubles. I'm not who I thought I was. It's a secret thing that goes on in our heads sometimes, and we put pressure on ourselves, and oh, we look good. We show up to church, and everything is going fine for the people that see us on the outward appearance, but on the inside there's turmoil and there's frustration and there's just a war in your mind and in your spirit, and you're fighting and you don't know what to do to get the victory. Pressure, tribulation. It's the pressure that comes to challenge us. It's the pressure that comes to discourage us. But he said through much tribulation or pressure, you must enter the kingdom of God. Sooner or later, you and I have got to decide every time we get up, I'm facing a little pressure that knocks me down. You've got to decide, I'm going to get up. I'm going to make it. You know, when you're going through that setback moment, the setback, and you lift your hands to worship and a little voice whispers in your mind, in your head, what's the use of putting your hands up in worship? Why clapping and sing with them? There's no use. Why bother praising God? Why bother worshiping you? Him? Don't you know I've got you right where I want you? You're a failure. You can't make it. You're just play acting. You're putting on a facade. If they really knew what you were going through, they wouldn't like you. And I've come to tell somebody that's a lie from the pits of hell. That's a lie from the devil. You don't have to listen to that junk anymore, because when you're going through that wilderness, just like Jesus did, the devil didn't have Jesus where he wanted him, but rather Jesus had the devil right where he wanted him. And it's just an old lie from the King of Lies. He's come in to discourage you, and he's roaming to and fro seeking whom he can devour. He wants to trip you up. He wants to make you fail. He wants to make you give in. He wants to make you keep your hands down. Oh, you can't. You want to clap, but you can't. But you can. You can. You can. When you're going through times of wrestling, the devil says, I've got you where you want you. You can look back at him and say, oh, no, devil. I've got you right where I want you in the name of Jesus. Get behind me. Leave me alone. Leave my family alone. I hope I'm making sense this morning. I just want to tell somebody, you can make it. You can make it. You can make it. God sent the situation up where you've got him, where you are. And it's face-off time with the devil. It's time to defeat whatever that situation or thing is in your life. It's time to take a stand and move on to victory. You can't have fresh victory without having a wrestling match. Somewhere along the line, you're going to have to wrestle for it. You're going to have to fight for the victory. Somewhere along the line, you've got to get sick of getting pushed around. Paul said this, one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind. You know, you can't live in the past your whole life. There are some things you've just got to forget and move on and leave it where it is. Just give it to Jesus and let it go. Forget about it. Write it off. Don't worry about it anymore, and reach for those things which are before you and press towards the mark. When the devil's putting the pressure on, it's time for the church and the people of God to press back. There comes a time when you've got to stand up and decide, I'm sick of this pressure. I'm going to put pressure on the pressure. Every time you say, in the name of Jesus, you're putting pressure on the pressure. Hallelujah. Every time you lift your hands and shout, hallelujah, you're putting pressure on the pressure. Every time you holler, glory, you're putting pressure on the pressure. Sometimes you're just going to have to say, hallelujah, anyhow. Glory, anyhow. Praise the Lord, anyhow. Glory be to God, anyhow. It's the pressure on the pressure that we need. We've got to put the pressure back on the liar, back on the situation. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You know, that's easy to say and preach and holler and scream, and people all over the country right now, preachers can get up and say that and people will run and jump and holler and hang from the chandelier. But I'm talking about a pressure when you don't feel like running or jumping or hollering. You're just broken inside. You're just hurting. You're just doing good that you even showed up. You don't know which way is up or down. And it's in those moments you don't need an emotional roller coaster or high and have to run and jump and holler and flip a switch. You need a touch from God Almighty in that setback situation to come in and minister to your heart and say, you can make it. You're going to make it. I'm right here with you. I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. Hallelujah. You can't be a wimp about this stuff. I know I'm crying, but you can't be a wimp about this stuff. You got to get the victory. You got to rise up and take a stand. Regardless of the circumstances, you've got to rise up and say, I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to turn around. I'm not going to quit coming to the house of God. I'm not going to let you, devil, steal my joy. Devil, you're not going to steal my blessing. You're not going to steal my praise. You're not going to steal my prayer, devil. Not anymore. I'm going to keep coming. I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep fasting. I'm going to keep trusting in the one who never fails. I'm going to take a stand for right. God is still a good God. Whether I understand the situation or not, he's still a good God. Whether you understand the situation or not, he's still a good God. Whether you can figure it out or not, he's still a good God. Whether I can figure it out or not, he's still a good God. And he's worthy to be praised. The devil says, I've got you right where I want you. You thought you had it made, but I'm going to take it all from you right here. And that's the way he likes to act. That's the way he likes to come at you when you're in this setback situation. But he can't take anything from you that you don't give to him. He can't take it from you. You can be victorious over whatever thing you're fighting, whatever situation you're going through. He cannot take your faith unless you don't have any faith. He cannot take your joy. I've come to tell you, you can have joy in the middle of trouble. Joy does not come from circumstances. Joy comes from the presence of the Lord. That means if the bottom has fallen out, I can still have joy if I get in the presence of God. That's what the apostle was talking about. I have exceeding joy in my tribulation or in my pressure. He was able to maintain his joy relationship with God. You know, life is a lot, and everything in life is about a relationship. Think about it. Your boss, your family, your spouse, your children. Every decision, every interaction is based on a relationship and how you honor, respect, deal with those relationships, maintain those relationships. It matters. Even though there was no rest for the flesh, there was fightings without, there was fears within. Even though all of that was going on, he was able to maintain his relationship with God. Trouble on every side, but I've still got joy because I'm walking with Jesus. I'm walking with Jesus. It doesn't make sense all the time. It doesn't add up all the time. We've learned that if things are bad on the outside and things are going on in turmoil around us, then things are sad on the inside and we get down and we get depressed. It's a human reaction and quality or trait, a character trait. People all over the world, every class, every culture, every nationality, things in trouble begin to go on, and the inside you just saw you hit the bottom. You just I'm done. I don't know what I'm gonna do. It doesn't make sense. But you don't have to be sad inside. You hear me this morning? You don't have to be sad inside anymore. When things are bad all around you, you don't have to be sad because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. That means when it's bad out there, I still have hope in here. That word hope means expectation. What's your expectation? I still have hope. I still have expectation. Hallelujah. I've still got to have an expectation. It may be bad, but I'm expecting it to get good. It may be difficult, but I'm expecting him to bless anyhow. It may be bad, but I've got a hope inside of me that is just bubbling over. He's able to turn every situation around. The devil wants to steal your faith. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your peace and your love. But I've got some hope. I just keep on praising God. He is able to turn this situation around. I'm going to make it through. I don't understand why this has happened in this relationship. I don't understand why this has happened in this job. I don't understand why this has happened with this vehicle. But I've got a hope. I've got a joy. I've got a peace in my heart because God is going to see me through. And he's going to do the same thing for you. Setbacks. It's just a setback. Gideon was in a setback situation. 32,000 against 150,000, 5-1 odds. It doesn't look good. He's believing God for reinforcements. He gets a subtraction. I need more, but he gets less. I need an addition, but he gets a subtraction. It doesn't make sense. God said, if I do it this way, pride's going to come in and you're going to take credit. If I do it this way, I'm not going to get the glory because I want you in a place where I can step into the situation. As long as you have the resources to do it yourself, you're going to keep me on the edge or the wings of your stages of your life. So I'm going to do a little bit of subtracting here and there for you. And you've got to say, and we've got to do it ourselves, that we can't do it ourselves, God. And I've just got to come to you today, God, and say, I need you in this situation. And it's when you get to that place, you know who shows up and steps in and the curtains are pulled back and Jesus is standing there and say, hey, peace be still to this storm. You can make it. You can be victorious. Hallelujah. When you're in a setback situation where you can't save yourself, you can't fix it yourself, you can't straighten it out yourself, that's God's stage for his supernatural power to come in and do it the way he wants to do it. He cannot do it with you and I leaning on ourselves. He cannot do it with you trusting in your own intellect. But when you get to the setback situation and you realize, oh God, unless you do it, we're dead. David said, God is for me. He wants you to succeed. Do you hear me this morning? He wants you to succeed, but he wants you to look unto him when you do. And God's going to be on the scene. It went from 32,000 to 10,000. I'll hurry. From 10,000 to 300. God says, now I can do my thing. Setback, setback, setback. The setback equals a setup. It was really just a setup in disguise. From setbacks to a setup. It looked like a setback. It felt like a setback. It seemed like a setback. But what it really was a setup for the supernatural power of God. I'm trying to tell somebody this morning that when you go through some setbacks in life, it's not a setback at all. It's a setup for God to do something in your life. It's a setup. Gideon, don't be scared. It's just a setup. Gideon, don't lose the victory. It's just a setup. Gideon, don't faint. It's just a setup. How many people here have ever received a miracle? Like, see your hands. You've received them. You know without a shadow of a doubt, God did this. Show me your hands one more time. Wow, isn't that amazing? How many of you enjoyed needing a miracle? Wow. Yeah, it's not fun needing a miracle. But how are you going to get a miracle unless you need a miracle? The process is not fun. But God can never do the supernatural in your life unless He allows the circumstances of your life to get you in a position and a point to where you need a miracle. Amen. God doesn't get the glory with you doing everything yourself. He gets the glory when we step aside and we get our own selves out of the way and we put God in control, and then He can do a work on our behalf. How about the three Hebrew children or the boys when they were throwing the fiery furnace? The scripture says, and they were saying, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. Our God is able to deliver. They're talking to the king, us, and He will deliver us. But whether He does it or not, we're not going to bow down. That's what they're telling the king. I can't help but just insert my own thinking here, the way my mind works. If I'm one of those boys, you ever put yourself in somebody else's position? Well, if I was them, I would have. Yeah, you always have an opinion until you're in that situation and you're like, oh God. Yeah. Anyway. But I can't help but do that myself. If I'm one of those boys, I'm thinking, I'm believing God. He won't let us be thrown in that fiery furnace. Man, we're taking a stand. What you talking about? We ain't going in that fire. He wouldn't let that happen to us. No, no, no. Look at us. We're taking a stand for God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's going to show up at any point. That's what I'm thinking, you know. But what if He doesn't? They didn't change their story and start, oh, we'll bow, when they started actually getting thrown into the fire. What if He doesn't show up when you think He should? Or when He doesn't show up in the way that you think He should, or how you think He should? What if you take your stand and He doesn't show up when you said He was going to show up? I'd be over there thinking on the way over the fiery side of that furnace, any second now. He's going to show up any second now. They're thrown in that fiery furnace. They open their eyes. They say, oh no, we went to hell. This can't be hell. I don't feel any pain. Not only that, but my hands are free. What's going on here? I'm not bound anymore. Hey, there were three of us. Why, now there's four. Hallelujah. Because that setback for those boys was really a setup. It was a setup. It was a setup to get to that king to show him who God really was. Do you understand what I'm talking about this morning? I hope you do. I hope I'm bringing it out how you can understand it. If God allows you to go into the fiery furnace of whatever situation you're in, He's going to be in that furnace with you. He's not going to leave you there by yourself. The setback is really in disguise. It's really a setup. And Nebuchadnezzar looks in and he said, didn't we throw in three? I see a fourth one there. If they had never been thrown in, the fourth man would have never been seen. What if God had just stopped everything right at the edge? But he didn't. He let it get worse so that it could be greater. Nebuchadnezzar said, come out of there. Now, being the person I am, I'd have said, hey, buddy, you threw us in here. You come in here and get us. How about that? Oh, no, I ain't coming there. It's hot. But they come walking out, the scripture says. And in just that quick moment, the emperor who had condemned them and their God made a law that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would be the true and living God. And nobody could worship any other God but their God. And that setback was really just a set up. Praise God. Praise God. God is looking for a church that he can trust to trust Him. We've got to cast all of our cares to Him. He's in every situation. We don't understand how things work out. We're doing a lot of stuff right now, and maybe some things work, maybe some things don't. We don't understand it all, but we're trusting God that God is going to perform on our behalf, and God is going to step in right at the right moment in every decision. That's our prayer. God, you take control. God, have your will, have your way in our life, in our church, in our families. Hallelujah. We want God to step up on our behalf. And that setback can become a setup. There are many other examples throughout the Bible that I could bring out. Job, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, Joseph, David. You can go on and on. David, story after story. Setbacks were really just setups. I'm closing with this. To me, this is one of the greatest examples of them all. Musicians, you can come. 93 years old. 93 years old. John on the Isle of Patmos. How be your brother in tribulation? 93 years old. The bishop of Ephesus. He was the only apostle that was at the cross on record. He had his head straight all through the years with Jesus to the Last Supper. His head was on the breast of Jesus. While everybody else was having a party, he had his head at the heartbeat of God. He had something the other apostles did not have in terms of a relationship with Jesus, an intimate relationship with Jesus. Because when Jesus said, someone here is going to betray me, they all begin to say, is it I? Is it I? And if you haven't found the humor in that, let me share it with you. You've got to give these guys some credit because they were saying, is it I that will betray you? In our day, many of us would be, is it her? Is it him? I think it's Whitman. Think about that. At least they were man enough to say, is it I? In our generation, we point fingers. Is it so-and-so? Just a thought. You got to give him some credit there. When Peter wanted to know who it was, he didn't ask Jesus directly. He asked John to ask Jesus because he knew John had a track with Jesus that he himself was not on. He was the most intimate disciple. John describes himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved.